The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
First of all, in Michigan, there was no recount. Remember that Joe Biden won our state by over 154,000 votes. That's an insurmountable number. So there was no effort to do a recount whatsoever. Every single one of the claims that had been made in court had been shot down. There was no viable avenue for a decertification of an election that, again, had already been properly certified here.
Well, we believe that we had an incredibly fair and thorough election, and that it was conducted, in accordance with the rules, and that the results accurately reflect the will of the people of our state. And we believe that everything was done properly here in Michigan, and that the results ought to be certified. So, you know, the candidates don't get to pick the winners, the voters do, and the voters of the state of Michigan have spoken.
And what they found in each and every one of the more than 250 audits they conducted is that Michigan's election was the most secure in our state's history, and the results accurately reflect the will of the voters. This finding eradicates any rationale for continuing to question the integrity of the election and the validity of the outcome.
Could you describe your interactions with the president on this question about whether or not he won or lost and what you told him?
I go through that in my book in painstaking detail, but on three occasions at least, and I told him in no uncertain terms that there was no evidence of fraud that would have changed the outcome.
There you go, all the experts. You've got the Michigan Attorney General, you've got the Secretary of State up in Michigan, of course, Bill Barr, the chief law enforcement officer in the United States at that time, telling Trump everything was perfect. No evidence of fraud whatsoever. And then yesterday, after 3 years, we learn about this police report, this police investigation. You see, if it's done at the local level, they can actually uncover some fraud. They can uncover fraud in Muskegon, Michigan, where tens of thousands, or at least almost 10,000, that's just one city of 40,000 people, but thousands and thousands of registration applications that came in. That's the first step before that. Before you get to the fraudulent ballots that are filled out, you've got to register first so that we can mail these ballots out to everywhere. And there's no signature verification. There were no addresses for the most part. A total fraud. And of course, it was kept undercover, this investigation that found out about this fraud. It was kept under the cover of darkness for 3 years. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Of course, you can get to the live video stream of this show at our website, trumpetdaily.com. We've got the live stream there every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States, 12 noon out on the East Coast. You can also get to the live stream at our Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble and search for the Trumpet Daily. And we carry the live stream every day at 11 a.m., same time as we do on our own website. And, of course, all of the previous programs are posted there on both of those websites as well. There's also a replay of this show every evening on Live from America TV, every evening at 8 p.m. Central Time Zone, 9 p.m. on the East Coast. If you'd like to check out the action, whether on the live chat or the comments or the thumbs-up rumbles that we get, just check out LFA TV this evening, and you'll see the Trumpet Daily. It's been fun to watch some of the numbers over there as we're seeing our audience grow. One thing I'll stipulate right here at the outset, we've got a lot to get to on today's show. I've got way, way, way too many notes. But before we launch into that, a little bit of business first, as I touched on yesterday. We've got the General Michael Flynn engagement that's coming up Monday evening, August 21st at 6 p.m. You can go to thetrumpet.com and you can see It's up in the upper left-hand corner of our website, thetrumpet.com. And you can see the advertisement there. Just click on that. You can go and secure your tickets. They're very affordable. It's an evening with Michael Flynn. He'll be speaking, and then we'll have a Q&A session after the fact. Before that, on Sunday afternoon, at the same facility, the same venue, Armstrong Auditorium, you can watch an encore performance of Celtic Throne. And we've got to queue up one of those Celtic Throne promos for those of you that haven't seen it before. Maybe we'll get that for tomorrow. In any event, that's 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon. It's been getting rave reviews all summer long. We thought we ended the tour about a month ago. We're coming back with this encore performance. So just go to CelticThrone.com and you can secure your seats for that Sunday afternoon, that matinee performance, that encore performance. So, two Republicans in Michigan, they obtained this 2020 police report that details what looks like massive amounts of fraud in this Democrat-leaning county in Michigan, Muskegon. And these Republicans, they had to give the police report. Even this is telling. They give it to Gateway Pundit. In another time, even probably just before the Obama era, you go back to 2008 or before, if fraud on this scale, whether Republican or Democrat, was discovered, well, you'd go and hand it to the New York Times. You'd give it to the Washington Post, even Joe Scarborough, maybe. But not in the time we're in now, because you give it to any in the regime media, and they do just what the FBI's done the last 3 years. I mean, this investigation got so big that eventually the state authorities came in from Michigan, and then the FBI. And you send vote fraud investigations to the FBI, if it's regarding the fraud that ousted Donald Trump, that's where investigations go to die. They go to the FBI for 3 years. You can remember, if you're like us, you can remember all of the hearings in the Michigan State Legislature, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and people just lining up to give their testimony. I'll give you a couple of reminders of that here in just a second. But if at that time, if when the Michigan Attorney General and the Michigan Secretary of State, while they were out there saying, hey, everything's perfect, there's no evidence of fraud, they knew at that time about this investigation that was going on around Muskegon, Michigan. And that's just a small Democrat-leaning city. What went on in Detroit? What went on around some of the bigger cities in Michigan? We'll show you some footage here in just a second. This city clerk, basically in Muskegon County or the city, it's about 40,000 people in eastern Michigan. She called the police. And keep in mind, this happened about a month before the election. A month before. So this is early October in 2020. She calls the police. She says, hey, I think there's all kinds of fraudulent behavior going on here. The clerk saw this woman dropping off thousands of completed voter registration applications, about 8,000 to 10,000 in total. And these forms, as I said at the top, they had the same handwriting. They had the addresses were non-existent and the signatures did not match. Now, this is why this is important with respect to ballot harvesting, because this is the first step, basically. This is the first step to creating the fake voter. You've got to register the ballots. So they go and they scour the rolls and they find dead people. They find this address. They find this or this. And they bring in these registration forms. And this woman saw them and saw, well, the signature's the same on it. These aren't different people registering because they want to vote by mail. These are fraudulent forms. But the thing of it is, when Muskegon receives these forms, then they send out the ballots to these mystery addresses. And then you've got the machines are out there in place to fill those out. Then they send them back in and they all get counted. They don't have signature verification. Nothing. Nothing. All those rules basically were suspended. Laws, I should say. And of course, you know about the COVID era. The fact that the mail-in ballots were they were sent out by the millions in 2020. So this woman sees what's going on. She calls the police, and the police investigate. and it's released, this investigation, this report, only at Gateway Pundit. Really stunning to think about where we are. It was Gateway, of course, back in 2020 that secured the footage, the 3 a.m. footage. Michigan, remember, when they shut everything down, they stopped the count because, as the talking heads told us the next morning, well, you know, the people counting votes need to go home and get rest. Well, the mules delivering the ballots in the vans to the TCI center that night, they didn't have to go home and get rest. They were hard at work just dumping pallets of ballots to the TCI center. Look at this footage. Again, Gateway reminded us of this just yesterday. You've got the mystery black vehicle that comes in. He backs up. There's an official somewhere in the arena. This is happening at 3 a.m. Okay, 3 a.m. Somebody comes out, hands the driver of this car something mysterious. The car takes off. And then next you have the van back in. And the van's full of all these ballots. Now, when Attorney General Barr, who admitted they never did investigate fraud, but he made a few phone calls, and the people, the Michigan authorities assured him, hey, this is around Detroit. You know, it's a big city. It's Wayne County. This is just normal. I mean, this is how they do ballots. There's nothing to see here. So it happens twice between the period of 3 a.m. and 4:30 a.m. And then, judging by what the networks pointed out the next day, this Biden spike that happened in the middle of the night, you know the ballots coming in are Biden ballots. These are not Trump ballots. If they were Trump ballots, you can be sure that the radical communists would be screaming bloody murder. But because they're Biden ballots, all the rhino Republicans, the cowards, they just turn a blind eye and they just let it go. Nothing to see here, they said. Nothing. This fits perfectly. You want to talk about perfect? It wasn't a perfect election. It was a perfect steal. You get all the fake registration forms. Then you get all the fake ballots sent out to these bogus addresses. Then you get all these communists filling out the ballots. Then they send them back in. And nobody in the counting process, well, they don't object to anything that comes in. All the rules, the verification, that's just out the window. Look, it's COVID, keep in mind. We've just got to count the ballots. We've got to make sure everyone's vote counts. That's what we were told. Massive, massive amounts of fraud. Investigators got several search warrants going back to this police report. One for a hotel room, one for a shuttered business address, and then another for an office in Southfield. And that's where they found all of these goodies that these mules were using. This is from page 21 of the police report. Boxes filled with prepaid phones, burner phones, hundreds of prepaid payment cards, partially completed voter registration forms, Pelican cases with semi-automatic rifles with supporters and scopes, or suppressors, I should say, and scopes, along with customized pistols. I mean, this sounds like a video you'd find on Hunter's laptop. What does this have to do with harvesting ballots? This is quite a shady operation, as we've come to expect, with just about everything involving the deep state or these deep, dark blue cities. The machines were in place. They were ready to go. This is what ballot harvesting is all about. It says there were also a whiteboard logging where the company's vans were located throughout the state. This company, GBI, I'll get to that in just a second. 5 vans in Benton Harbor, 6 in Muskegon, 3 in Inkster, and so on. So the investigation by this point, I mean, it was ever expanding because this company, this business, with all the funding coming in from Biden supporters, it was operating in 20 states. So you had the state of Michigan and even the AG's office, the Attorney General in Michigan, they were made aware of this, and they sent a couple of investigators to, you know, help the local police. The state got involved. Soon to be, though, the FBI had to get involved because it was such a sprawling network of registration fraud. And, of course, once the FBI got involved, then everything, you know, just conveniently enough, it just goes away. Gateway Pundit says here, Michigan Attorney General Dana Nassel, you saw her there in the cold open, who's currently attempting to prosecute 15 senior citizens and the former Michigan GOP co-chair for casting an alternate set of electoral votes in the 2020 election, asked the state police to join the Muskegon police and the AG's investigation of the potentially massive multi-city voter fraud operation. So she asked the state police to get involved with the local level. She's the one who's now, as it says, she's going after those 15 senior citizens who cast an alternate set of electoral votes. You know, in her mind, that's fraud, just to send an alternate slate so that the investigations of this police report could be looked into. Instead, the police report was covered up. And now those that were behind the alternate slate of electors, they're being prosecuted for felonies. I mean, there are 15 of them are senior citizens. They could go off to jail for the rest of their lives. It says here, two members of Attorney General Dana Nassel's criminal investigation division were assigned to the operation, yet curiously, she failed to mention the investigation to the public. To this day, Dana Nassel is still claiming there is no evidence of widespread voter fraud in Michigan, despite the fact that she knew her office and the office of her friend, Michigan's crooked Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, she was in the cold open too, were involved with the Michigan State Police in a large-scale investigation that took place across the state before it was taken over by the FBI. Oh, great! The FBI showed up. That'll bring justice. This all happened several weeks before the November 3rd election. Now, you look back at some of this history, all those hearings, the hearings they had before the state legislature. Let me just play you a clip from that. I guess it's further on in my notes. It must be. Where is that? Do you have the clip of the two witnesses that were in that Michigan legislature? Just play the first one if you can find it.
When I started writing down the ballot numbers and the last names of the person of the ballot that had the name on the ballot, they were all in sequence. These are absentee ballots, mail-in ballots. They cannot be in sequence. 2232 cannot have 2233 next to it, because if they're mailed in, they come in all different numbers. My antennas went up. That's exactly when I thought something is not right here. There was not even a date on those envelopes. It said November 0-2020. They got really mad at me. They said, you're not letting us do our job. You're disturbing us. And at that point, because we really don't want to be kicked out, you know, so we were just kind of not challenging anything because we want to still stay in the room because we barely had anybody. Not only that, the sequence ballot numbers were all from the same area, like the Goddard Street in the downtown Detroit. Signatures were all alike. None of them were coming up in the system. They were all being entered manually. They even knew that none of these details would even be in the poll book or in the system.
Signatures all alike, no specific dates. They came in sequence numerically. I mean, it was 1, 2. They all came in from, supposedly they came in from different locations, but they landed in the counting offices as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that was one of many. You saw how full the room was. But hey, because Rudy Giuliani's there, it must be a conspiracy theory. In fact, Giuliani's the one that needs to go to jail for blowing the whistle on this. That was one witness. Here's another one, clip 3.
Based off my sampling of a dozen duplicate ballots from 6 a.m. to about 2 p.m. the next day, because I was doing duplicates, from these duplicate ballots I observed, none of them were for Trump. None of them. Also, we challenged ballots all night. Every challenge was refused. They never carried it out. They never issued challenge ballots. There's no track, no remedy, no records. No recording of any challenge ballots the entire night. Poll workers changed duplicate ballots to straight Democrat ticket. So for example, you know, it would be like a mixed ticket, bubbles filled in everywhere. I witnessed employees taking their pen and filling in the Democrat straight ticket when it's not. I leave the room 2 p.m. The minute I leave the room, They block out the whole room with coverings. They prohibited access back in for me. And they said it's because we're exceeding COVID capacity. Now I'm going to wrap up with this. Mind you, the entire night, this room was slammed. It looked like the New York Stock Exchange on its like busiest day. And then at 2 p.m. the next day, after 70% of the employees have already finished their work, they're leaving, they left the room. Now they're emplacing the exceeded COVID capacity rules.
So, yeah, all the new ballots are coming in. The poll watchers are kicked out, or at least they go off. He was basically saying he went off for a snack. They announced it. You know, hey, there's snacks and such. Then they come back. Some of the counters are gone. And that's when, who can forget, they started to put up the poster boards to cover up the windows so the poll watchers couldn't view or observe the operation. Fraud top to bottom. And Bill Barr's DOJ never investigated any of this. He just made a few phone calls. He called a Michigan official who said it was perfect. And so Bill Barr told Trump it was perfect. In fact, Bill Barr, going into the election, at least he said this afterward, he knew Trump was going to lose. That's the bias that he went into the presidential election with. He just knew it. He was like so many other rhinos. And, of course, like all the communists, they had the machines in place to pull off the steal. Gateway Pundit says here, the police report names GBI Strategies as the organization running the scheme. The Tennessee-based group is heavily connected to the Biden campaign and various Democrat campaign committees. GBI Strategies, operations in 20 different states, headed up by a guy named Gary Bell, just working in the dark. And of course, funded by all this dark money, this operation had been put in place for years. You talk about Obama in the spirit of Antiochus weaponizing the alphabet agencies. Obama in his first and second term, he was also putting in place ways to ensure that the communists would never, ever, ever be voted out of office. And now so much of it's being exposed. I heard in an interview this morning with Gateway that GBI Strategies, I mean, they're out there basically, and at least in one article, bragging about how they're working in 70 different organizations, a sprawling network. And of course, we've covered over the years following the election steal, you know, all the money that was coming in from Zuckerberg, all of the drop boxes that were constructed for this special election. 100 million mail-in ballots mailed out, so many of them to dead people and bogus addresses. You put it all together, just like Trump said yesterday in Delaware. You look at 2,000 mules, you know, with an honest, open, objective mind. It's overwhelming. That's the truth. It says here, the police report also notes that the organization used rental cars around the state as part of its deployments, naming several of the field locations for their operations. It says, on election night, you just saw the footage, a suspicious 3:30 a.m. van delivering the Biden ballot dump in Detroit at the facility formerly known as the TCF Center was accompanied by a vehicle registered to a rental car company. They were renting cars. They had the burner phones. They had all the cash cards. They had to cover their tracks, you see. If it was legit, it's just like all the money flowing into the Biden crime family. If it was legit, a legit service, well, then you'd just wire the money straight to Hunter's account. Why all the shell companies? Or in the case of this, why all the cash cards or the burner phones that you could just toss in the trash when the operation is done? This is quite the operation, for sure. And then the FBI, of course, swoops in. The FBI to the rescue. What a joke. We played this clip for you yesterday in our opening, our cold opening. Listen to clip 5.
We're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Yeah, you sure did. And as I pointed out yesterday, isn't it interesting, this little factoid. I think we played the clip actually without that bit where he says, hey, and you were doing this for Obama before I came along. That's quite the revelation as well. Quiet part out loud makes you wonder who actually won in 2012, at least. He had the support. I mean, he was the savior. He was going to change the ocean tides. He was going to heal the wounds between the races, Barack Obama. But people started to wake up pretty quickly to what his first presidency was actually like. Who knows how many of these shenanigans were going on in 2012. I mean, it's too far on. Everything's just covered up, burned, thrown in the trash. But in this case, I mean, there's still evidence coming out, like this police report from Muskegon, Michigan. This GBI company, GBI Strategies, they received the one headed up by, what was it, Gary Bell? They received $4 million from large Democrat groups, $450,000 from Biden for president, $2.1 million from Democrat senatorial campaign, $1 million from the DNC Services Corporation, $493,000 from Democratic Party of Iowa. They're getting money from Biden people. So they were out there harvesting Biden ballots, you can be sure. And these are the ballots that were dumped at the TCF Center at 3:30 a.m. and then 4:30 a.m. just after election night. And then the next morning, lo and behold, we turn on the news and we see this Michigan spike for Biden. And through it all, in the lead up to this, in the lead up to the shenanigans on election night and the spike and the 3 a.m. Ballot drop, in the lead up to it, there was this massive investigation going on in Muskegon at the local level, discovering all of this fraud, the hotel rooms, the burner phones, even weapons, cash cards, ballots, stacks of them. And at the moment it's handed to Bill Barr's FBI. He was the head of the DOJ. He was the chief law enforcement official in the United States at the time. As soon as it's handed over to Bill Barr, then it just went away. Until yesterday, it just went away. And then you had Bill Barr out there in the transition period from Trump to Biden, and certainly hereafter, he's been out there this week promoting his book, saying how deranged Trump is, saying how perfect the election was in 2020. There was a time, of course, before that election, that Bill Barr, believe it or not, was sounding the alarm. Here he is with Wolf Blitzer, clip 12.
This is a, you know, sort of cheap talk to get around the fundamental problem, which is the bipartisan commission chaired by Jimmy Carter and James Baker said back in 2009 that mail-in voting is fraught with the risk of fraud and coercion.
But since then, there have been a lot of investigations that haven't proved it.
Let me talk.
Yeah, please.
Since that time, there have been, in the newspapers, in networks, academic studies, saying it is open to fraud and coercion. The only time the narrative changed is after this administration came in. But elections that have been held with mail have found substantial fraud and coercion. For example, we indicted someone in Texas, 1,700 ballots collected from people who could vote. He made them out and voted for the person he wanted to. Okay?
Because
that kind of thing happens with mail-in ballots, and everyone knows it.
You see the date there, September 2nd, 2020. If it's mass mail-in balloting, it's fraught with fraud. Fraud, he said, and corruption. The only time the narrative changed is when COVID changed all the rules and you had people like Wolf Blitzer hurry out to express the dear leader's views, the dear leader's narrative. It's perfectly safe. It's perfectly secure. When have you ever heard, even in the United States, that it was just perfect and there's no evidence? Now, if you were listening, they did change their position with subtleness further on, as so many of these affidavits stacked up, all these witnesses lined up, they said, well, there wasn't enough fraud to change the results of the election. You wonder, what would they say now? Well, they probably say the same thing, because Not that long after you saw that little exchange with Wolf Blitzer, Bill Barr would have been made aware of this police investigation in Muskegon, Michigan, but he didn't do or say anything about it. Far from it. Covered it up, just like they covered up Hunter's laptop. At the same time, by the way. This was all going on in the lead up to the election. Listen again to Bill Barr with Blitzer on September 2nd, number 13.
Now what we're talking about is mailing them to everyone on the voter list when everyone knows those voter lists are inaccurate. People who should get them don't get them, which is what has been one of the major complaints in states that have tried this in municipal elections. And people who get them are not the right people. They're people who have replaced the previous occupant, and they can make them out. And sometimes multiple ballots come to the same address with a whole several generations of occupants. Do you think that's a way to run a vote?
That's the way they ran it in Muskegon in the lead up to the presidential election. And Muskegon, it leans blue, but it's a relatively small city in eastern Michigan. And if this organization, GBI, that's pulling in millions from all these Biden people, if they're involved or engaged in getting out the vote in 20 different states, what level of fraud and corruption are we talking about here? That these people would say it was perfect. I mean, this is something that you never could have imagined happening in the United States of America, to paraphrase what Victor Davis Hanson said in a column earlier this week, not even 10 years ago. It's happening now. And if they can get away with it, they'll make it happen again next year. And then they'll tell you. They'll look at you and say, listen, 2024, it was perfect. It was perfect because we were able to keep the communists in power. So that's how we know that the election was perfect. And of course, they hope as part of that story, that narrative, they hope that Donald Trump will be in prison at the time. Listen to one more exchange. This is Bill Barr, September 2nd, 2020, number 14.
Republicans, well, this is playing with fire. This is playing with fire. We're a very closely divided country here. And if people have to have confidence in the results of the election and the legitimacy of the government, and people trying to change the rules to this methodology, which as a matter of logic is very open to fraud and coercion, is reckless and dangerous. And the people are playing with fire.
Yeah, that's right. We played with fire. And look at what happened. And look at the destruction that has followed since here in Manassas, here in the United States of America. That's Bill Barr, September 2nd. And we all know what happened after the election. He decided not to investigate anything. Nothing. And he even knew about the Muskegon report. His Department of Justice knew about it. The FBI was getting involved. They knew about it. And he did nothing. This is an article the following summer, June 27, 2021. So the fake president has been installed. This is a few months on from that. Bill Barr is interviewed by Jonathan Carl at The Atlantic, and the title is Inside William Barr's Breakup with Trump. What was behind the breakup? Carl says, but Barr told me he had already concluded that it was highly unlikely that evidence existed that would tip the scales in the election. He had expected Trump to lose and therefore was not surprised by the outcome. At what point along the way did Bill, that's an incredible statement. Bill Barr, a Republican, quote unquote, Donald Trump's attorney general, at what point along the, this was the summer of love. This is when Black Lives Matter and Antifa, I mean, going back to when he supposedly expected that Trump would lose. This is when they were campaigning from the basement with an elderly senile man, and Antifa and BLM, they were out burning cities. The tide had swung fully in the favor of Donald Trump. And yet Bill Barr, he tells Jonathan Carl the next year, well, I knew Trump was going to lose. The arrogance of these people, the pride. Continuing from this article, it says here, He had expected Trump to lose and therefore was not surprised by the outcome. He also knew that at some point Trump was going to confront him about the allegations. And he wanted to be able to say that he had looked into them and that they were unfounded. He's Trump's attorney general, so he knows Trump's going to come and talk to him or ask him about all of these instances of fraud, all of these irregularities. And so he wanted to be prepared for this, right? Listen to this. It just makes your head explode almost. It says here, the Department of Justice ended up conducting no formal investigations of voter fraud. He had talked so hot under the collar with Blitzer, saying that, look, this country's divided. How are they going to have trust in the process if you don't have secure election laws? How are people going to accept the results if it's just mass mail-in ballots, which Jimmy Carter said opens the way for fraud and corruption in elections? Jimmy Carter, that's right. So he wanted to be prepared. They conducted no formal investigations of voter fraud, but as part of Barr's informal review, he asked, listen to this, he asked the U.S. attorney in Michigan about Trump's claim that mysterious ballot dumps in Detroit had secured Biden's victory in the state. So he made a phone call. He asked the attorney in Michigan, hey, what about those ballot drops in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., 4:30 a.m.? You know, we're seeing footage of that at Gateway Pundit, not the New York Times, not CNN, not Morning Joe, just Gateway. What about this? It says here, as proof of fraud, Trump's allies had pointed to videos showing boxes filled with ballots arriving at the TCF Center in Detroit to be counted after the 8 p.m. deadline for votes to be cast. But Barr quickly found that there was a logical explanation. It had to do with how the 662 precincts in the 662 precincts in Wayne County, home of Detroit, tabulate their votes. In every other county, they count the ballots at the precinct. But in Wayne County, they bring them into one central counting place, so the boxes are coming in all night. The fact that boxes are coming in, well, that's what they do. That's just what they do in Wayne County. That doesn't even make sense if you think of it. If they don't count them at the precincts, then they could get them into the TCF Center sooner, right? Because you're just collecting the ballots on Election Day and then take them over to the TCF. Why 3:30 a.m.? Why wouldn't it take the other counties longer to report their results if they're doing it at the local level? That's Bill Barr. The following year, after he really told Wolf Blitzer, he sounded the alarm about all of the elections worldwide that are just fraught with fraud and corruption. The moment you start sending out ballots to everyone, you think about what was happening again through this same time period. The fact that Bill Barr's DOJ, they got Hunter's laptop in November of 2019, and they knew it was Hunter's in December of 2019. It would have taken them a little more than 2 seconds to find out, is this legit or is this Russian disinformation? And yet, what did Bill Barr's DOJ and FBI do the very next year when Hunter's laptop was exposed, when the New York Times was printing stories about what was on that laptop? What was the FBI doing at that time? Almost a year later, almost a year after receiving the laptop, they were telling Facebook, they were telling Twitter, listen, you better censor anyone that would say that this is Hunter's because this is Russian disinformation. And of course, right as those stories were coming out by the New York Post, you had all of the communists, the famous communists from the intel community, John Brennan and company, that signed the document saying, yeah, it has all the hallmarks of Russian disinformation. This is your FBI and DOJ. Even during the time of Bill Barr, they are there to cover up crimes as much as they expose some crimes. There was the big pedophile ring between the U.S. and Australia yesterday. Of course, we were told by the regime media when Sound of Freedom came out that the pedophile rings really didn't exist. 100 people have been arrested for trafficking children in Australia and the United States. That was just busted yesterday. At least the story came out. I was supposed to believe that this was QAnon, or that's what they want us to believe. I mean, you read the story about that, it's almost exactly like the screenplay of Sound of Freedom. So much evil and filth. It really does make you think of Ezekiel 8. Peering into the hole in the wall, and you see all of these abominations going on inside the temple. This is not some third world dictatorship or banana republic we're talking about. We're talking about the United States. But look at what we've become. Look at the filth and the sickness that's everywhere on display. You wonder, really, everyone I'm talking about here, you could argue pretty compelling case that all of these people we're talking about here today should be in jail. And the only one that shouldn't be is Donald Trump. As it is, he's facing 3 indictments, soon to be 4. Some have said Jack Smith's got another one cooked up. Maybe a 5th indictment. Put Donald Trump in prison, and meanwhile let all of this go on in Muskegon County, wherever. Doesn't matter. Steal elections, pedophile rings. It's just normal, I guess. Just brush it aside, turn a blind eye to it. This is Time Magazine. They could hardly contain themselves. After they completed the election steal in November of 2020, then they get the fake president installed January 20th, 2021. In the midst of all that, of course, you've got the fake insurrection. Lots of fakery and phoniness. Fake news. This is Time Magazine that comes out basically 2 weeks after the fake inauguration and then basically lays it out in detail. This is how the radical left pulled it off, and they had the help of the rhino right as well. Democrats and Republicans. The goal? You just got to oust Donald Trump. The election steal was the culmination of a 4-year insurrection. Forget about January 6th. The coup, I gave you the story yesterday, Obama's January 5th, 2017 conspiracy. They were laying out the details of the coup. And the election steal 4 years later, that was the culmination of it. Time Magazine says here, the handshake between business and labor was just one component of a vast cross-partisan campaign to protect the election. That's all they were doing. That's what they were doing in Muskegon. They were just protecting the election, not cheating. It says an extraordinary shadow effort dedicated not to winning the vote, but to ensuring it would be free and fair, credible and uncorrupted. For more than a year, a loosely organized coalition of operatives, look at all the words they're using, and they feel like these are the right and positive terms to use. Operatives scrambled to shore up America's institutions as they came under simultaneous attack from a remorseless pandemic and an autocratically inclined president. Trump is the problem. He's the autocrat. He's the dictator. They've got all this machine and all this cheating going on, stealing, lying, deceiving. But it's Trump, of course. We know this narrative. It says, though much of this activity took place on the left, it was separate from the Biden campaign and crossed ideological lines with crucial contributions by nonpartisan and conservative actors. There's lots of Republicans that want to see Trump in prison as well. It says here, the scenario the shadow campaigners were desperate to stop was a Trump victory. Was not a Trump victory. Actually, it was. It was an election so calamitous that no result could be discerned at all. This is how Time frames it. Their work touched every aspect of the election. Listen, they got states to change voting systems and laws. I mean, that's one part of the steal right there. They did it without the approval of the legislatures. They just went in behind closed doors with people like Stacey Abrams and said, hey, we got to change the rules. We don't have time to submit this to legislatures. It's COVID, 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 COVID. Scamdemic. That was a big part of the plan as well. Fauci told us it was coming, even as Donald Trump was coming into office. They had it as part of the plan. Change voting systems and laws and help secure hundreds of millions in public and private funding. Got to get those Zucker bucks. We've got to fund this operation so that we can have all these cash cards to hand over to the mules. We can give them the burner phone. They can toss that in the garbage when we're done with the operation. They fended off voter suppression lawsuits, recruited armies of poll workers, and got millions of people to vote by mail for the first time. Time's telling us how they did it. Put this together with the police report, all those affidavits, the hearings in the late of 2020, Dinesh D'Souza's 2,000 mules, the Hunter Biden laptop cover-up, covering up the Biden crimes, including the big guy. Assuming it's even Joe, there's quite a few comments online these days saying, what if the big guy's the dear leader? Maybe Biden is the brand and the big guy is Obama. Wouldn't put it past them. They're all in on it. They're all in on it. You wonder about some of these local law enforcement officials, like in Muskegon. Here they are investigating. They're turning up all this corruption. Then it gets to be a more broad investigation. You got to bring in the state law enforcement agents. And then it gets to be so big and involved, you got to bring in the feds. So what are these local law enforcement officials thinking right about now? They're probably applauding the fact that at least Gateway Pundit would produce or print the police report. And they did do that, by the way. You're actually seeing the police report. You're seeing the footage of the Biden ballot drops at 3 a.m., 4:30 a.m. Jim Comer comes out with a report today showing how much money the Bidens are raking in from all these foreign nationals. And I mean, he's printing the receipts so that you can see it. But you see the propagandists, the communists, they say, don't you believe what you can see with your eyes. You just believe what we tell you. The Biden crime family, it's not a crime family at all. There's no crimes there. Yeah, that's why they don't cover anything. 0 seconds of coverage about Devin Archer and his bombshell testimony from last week. No coverage. Played that clip for you yesterday. Millions people to vote by mail for the first time. This Time magazine piece says they successfully pressured social media companies to take a harder line against disinformation. What? So these are all Democrat operatives, and Time is bragging, saying that they successfully pressured social media. Keep in mind, the FBI worked in tandem with these Democrat operatives to successfully pressure social media companies to take a harder line against disinformation. Disinformation, you see, as they see it to be, anyone that would talk about voter fraud or fraudulent ballots, you got to blot them out. You got to censor them. You got to remove their tweet or their Facebook post right away. It says here, after Election Day, they monitored every pressure point to ensure that Trump could not overturn the result. The untold story of the election is the thousands of people of both parties who accomplished the triumph of American democracy at its very foundation, says Norm Eisen, a prominent lawyer and former Obama administration official. Can you believe this? They say this all with a straight face. I mean, they probably put on a nice suit. Yeah, the former Obama official says, we were able to come together, Democrats and Republicans, to save American democracy. In other words, the goal, the objective, get Trump. You got to oust Trump. You just have to remove Trump, no matter the means. And Time goes into some pretty good detail about the means. Quotes that Eisen guy, a prominent lawyer and former Obama administration official who recruited Republicans and Democrats to the board of the Voter Protection Program. They're trying to protect the vote, you see. Trump, the only way Trump can get into office is if he suppresses the vote. That's the message. It says, this is the inside story of the conspiracy to save the 2020 election based on access to the group's inner workings, never before seen documents and interviews with dozens of those involved from across the political spectrum. This is the inside story of the conspiracy, says Time magazine. I'm not saying it. This is Time magazine. They wanted to use the word conspiracy, not me. I mean, I'll use it too, for sure. They were conspiring to remove Trump from office. As I say, this was the ultimate culmination of the four-year coup, kicked in motion by the dear leader. The January 5, 2017 conspiracy, as Lee Smith wrote yesterday. It's the story of unprecedented, creative, and determined campaign whose success also reveals how close the nation came to disaster. That's unbelievable, really. That's why the participants want the secret history of the 2020 election told, even though it sounds like a paranoid fever dream, a well-funded cabal of powerful people ranging across industries and ideologies, working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change rules and laws, steer media coverage, and control the flow of information. I mean, that just blows my mind. They would come out, they're basically patting themselves on the back. Yeah, we got away with the conspiracy. This is the conspiracy right here. And it's real. It's not a theory. It's real. They're admitting it. Listen to Donald Trump from New Hampshire yesterday. This is clip 11.
Look at 2,000 mules. Look at what they did with that. Thousands and thousands and thousands of votes on tape, on camera. All of this will come up during this trial. All of this will come up. Because we won the election by a lot. Then they have this crap going on. I never even thought of this one. Trump didn't really believe he won the election. Let me tell you, people that know me say, that's one thing I tell you. There was never a second of any day that I didn't believe that that election was rigged. It was a rigged election. It was a rigged election, and it was a stolen, disgusting election. And this country should be ashamed. And they go after the people that want to prove that it was rigged and stolen so it never happens. They go after them. They don't go after the people that rigged it, okay? And we'll see how it all turns out. You know, we've been right about a lot of things.
He was right. We need a sequel to our booklet. He was right about the prophecies of Herbert Armstrong. You can order that, by the way, if you haven't gotten one already. He was right, 1-866-930-3024. I'll close with yet another quote from America Under Attack. You can also call our operators. Just jot down the number, the phone number there at the bottom third of the screen. In America Under Attack, my father writes, the United States entered its greatest political crisis ever on November 3rd, 2020, Election Day. To make Joe Biden president, the radical left flagrantly manipulated the nation's voting system. Initially, the mainstream media, perhaps half the citizens, most of the nation's politicians, Democrats and Republicans, and much of the rest of the world believed, or at least behaved as though, Mr. Biden had been legitimately elected president by the official vote of 81 million votes. But it was a giant lie. Mountains of evidence prove that the election was manipulated. Mountains of it. Just like this Muskegon police report. Add that to the top of the mountain now. It says here the 2020 election was hacked and it reduced America's entire electoral system to shambles, and it is all because of the radical left's unrestrained assault on America's democratic institutions and traditions, including the Constitution and the rule of law. Finally, it says here, thousands of people and institutions were directly or indirectly involved. Think about GBI and its influence stretching over 20 states, helping 70 different organizations, all of this dark money flowing in and out of these organizations. It says virtually all of America's top media organizations and personalities were complicit, as well as the powerful tech companies and many of the nation's top politicians. That, my friends, is spot on. Request America Under Attack today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.